सुभद्रमाई की जाए, पतित पावन शिल प्रभुपाद की जाए, समवेत गौर भक्त बंधु की जाए। Please excuse me, I have a terrible voice today, so I try to do the best that I can. From the mouth.
Very intently. Yes.
Is that?
We are listening very intently.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So 31. So
431 16.
Etat padam tad jagat atmana param. Sakrit vibhatam savituryata prabha. Yatha savo jagrati supta saktayo. Dravya kriya jnana vidha brahmatyaya. Etat padam tad jagadatma param. Sakrit vibhatam savituryata prabha. Yata savo jagrati supta shaktayo. Dravya kriya jnana vidha brahmatyaya. Etat padam tad jagadatmana param. Sakrit vibhatam savituryata prabha. Yatha savo jagrati supta shaktaya. Dravya kriya jnana vidha brahmatyaya. Please chant.
Etat padam yajagat atmana param.
Etat padam tad jagat atmana param.
Sakrit
vibhatam.
Sakrit vibhatam savituryata prabha.
Sakrit vibhatam savituryata prabha.
Yathasavo jagrati supta saktayo.
Yathasavo jagrati supta saktayo.
Dravya kriya jnana buddha brahmatyaya.
Dravya kriya jnana vidha brahmatyaya. Etat padam tad jagadatmana param. Sakrit vibhatam savituryata prabha. Yatha savo jagrati supta shaktayo. Dravya kriya jnana vidha brahmatyaya. translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a really long one, so I would be reading it, and at junction points we would discuss. Translation. Just as the sunshine is non-different from the sun, the cosmic manifestation is also non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is therefore all-pervasive within this material creation. When the senses are active, they appear to be part and parcel of their body. But when the body is asleep, their activities are unmanifest. Similarly, the whole cosmic creation appears different and yet non-different from the Supreme Person. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This confirms the philosophy of Achintya Veda Abheda Tattva, simultaneously one and different, propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is simultaneously different and non-different from this cosmic manifestation. In a previous verse, it has been explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the root of a tree, is the original cause of everything. It was also explained how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervasive. He is present within everything in this material manifestation. Since the energy of the Supreme Lord is non-different from Him, although it appears different. The sunshine is not different from the sun itself, but it is simultaneously also different. One may be in the sunshine, but he is not on the sun itself. Those who live in this material world are living on the bodily rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they cannot see Him personally in the material condition. In this verse, the word Padam indicates the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. As confirmed in Isha Upanishad, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. The proprietor of a house may live in one room of the house, but the entire house belongs to him. A king may live in one room in the Buckingham Palace, but the entire palace is considered his property. It is not necessary for the king to live in every room of that palace, for it is to be his. He may be physically absent from the rooms, but still the entire palace is understood to be his royal domicile. The sunshine is light. The sun globe itself is light, and the sun god is also light. However, the sunshine is not identical with the sun god, Vivaswan. This is the meaning of simultaneously one and different, Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. All the planets rest on the sunshine, and because of the heat of the sun, they revolve in their orbits. On each and every planet, the trees and plants grow and change colors due to the sunshine. Being the rays of the sunshine is non-different from the sun. Similarly, all the planets resting on the sunshine are non-different from the sun. The entire material world is completely dependent on the sun, being produced by the sun, and the cause of the sun is inherent in its effects. Similarly, Krishna is the cause of all causes, and the effects are permeated by the original cause. The entire cosmic manifestation should be understood as the expanded energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one sleeps, the senses are inactive, but this does not mean that the senses are absent. When one is awakened, the senses become active again. Similarly, this cosmic creation is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. When the cosmic manifestation is dissolved, it is in a kind of sleeping condition, an inactive state. Whether the cosmic manifestation is active or inactive, the energy of the Supreme Lord is always existing. Thus the word appearance and disappearance apply only to the cosmic manifestation. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahi Yanda Dhati Swapadantikam Adadana Stranam Danta Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. So continuing the discussion that Shripad Narada Muni is speaking to the sons of King Prachinabarhi here in the 4th canto, the 31st chapter. Previously, we discussed, and Mother Chatamai gave a wonderful class on how Yathatarur Mula Nishechanena Tripyanti Tatskanda Bujopi Shaka Pranopahara Chayatendriyanam Tathaiva Sarvarana Machutejya. She explained very beautifully how Krishna is like the root. We have different demigods, we have different personalities, who are like the trees, who are like the stem, who are like the twigs, who are like the leaves, who are like the branches, and who are like the sub branches. But there's only one root, and that is Sri Krishna. Also, she explained how Sri Krishna is like the stomach, while the other demigods and other representatives are all like different senses. When we feed the stomach, all the working senses are also fed and completely satisfied. Sukadev Goswami, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he describes different incarnations of Krishna. He describes different expansions of Krishna. And he also explains different planary expansion of the expansions, the planary portion expansions of Krishna. And then finally he tells Parikshit, Ete cham sakalam pumsam krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam rokam mridayanti yuge yuge. Says, O Maharaj Parikshit, of all the incarnations, of all the expansions, and of all the expansions of the expansions, there's only one root. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. You might see different expansions. They might sometimes even come down as Bhagavan. If we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, some places Lord Shiva is described as Bhagavan. Some places Narada Muni is described as Bhagavan. And even Indra is referred to as Bhagavan. But then Sukadeva Goswami says, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. The Swayam Bhagavan is only Krishna. Now this Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, he appears again and again. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Ridayanti Yuge Yuge. Yuge Yuge. Prati Yugam. In every Yuga, he comes down to destroy the enemies of Indra. The Swayam Bhagavan. And Sukadev Goswami, he also explains how this Swayam Bhagavan Krishna can be realized in three phases. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattva yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti satyate. Explained in the first canto, second chapter, in the first half. He says, the person whom the Vedas, the person whom the sages, the munis, the rishis describe as Swayam Bhagavan, he can be described or realized in three phases. Brahmeti, paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti sabdhyate. So, Prabhupada explains this concept here in the purport. He gives the example of the sunshine, the sun globe, and the sun god. And in some places, he also describes another example. We'll cover this example, then we'll shift to the other example. So, Brahman is the Brahma Jyoti, is the effulgence manifesting from Krishna's body. All the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we know, is unlimited, infallible, unbound, unimaginable, unlimited. He's always un, right? He's boundless. But because he's a very sweet personality, he appears in a very beautiful, dazzling form. But sometimes people misunderstand. Those who believe that God is formless, they think that actually he is formless. But that God comes under Maya and he accepts this form. And Krishna completely negates that. Prabhupada hammers this point again and again. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritam param bhava majananta. Prabhupada quotes this again and again and again to say that God is not formless. God has a very beautiful form. He has a very, very beautiful form.
but the effulgence, the bodily jyoti that manifests from his body, that light pervades everywhere. And people, because they cannot go beyond that, they think this is God and God is formless. But Prabhupada said that is stage one. When you go to the next stage after Brahman, you have the Paramatma feature, where the Supreme Lord can be beautifully, wonderfully realized as the localized Paramatma in the hearts of the rishis. There's a very beautiful verse describing that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogina Yasyantam Na Vidu Sura Asura Gana Devaya Tasmai Namaha. Shukadeva Goswami says, the yogis, when they sit in contemplative meditation, in one pointed mood of devotion, or at least jnana, at the lotus feet of Vishnu, they realize this localized Paramatma. Dhyan avastita tat gatena manasa. In the core of their heart, the yogis who are sitting in contemplative meditation, they see this form and they realize this form. And how is this better than Brahman? It is better than Brahman because now the yogi sees that the Lord, whom I always thought is formless, actually has a very, very beautiful form. Very wonderful form. But then, this is correct, but this is again not complete. Prabhupada said this is stage 2. And stage 3 is Bhagavan. Purna Purushottam. Shad Aishwarya Purna Krishna. Raso Vaisaha Krishna. Purna Purushottam Krishna. Akhila Rasamrita Murti Krishna. Prabhupada explains how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose Brahma Jyoti pervades through all cosmic creation, and then who appears as localized Paramatma, has a very, very beautiful form, has a very, very beautiful dham, Goloka, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, eternally resides as Bhagavan. He resides as Bhagavan in Vaikuntha, as the four-handed Vishnu. And then Prabhupada taught us even to go beyond Vaikuntha, where he said, in Vaikuntha, there's always awe and reverence, worshipping the four-handed Mahavishnu. And the compassionate Prabhupada taught us how we could go even beyond that in a realm of Goloka Vrindavan, where there is loving transcendental relationship, where sometimes the servants bow down before Krishna like Raktak and Patrak, and then the friends going ahead jump on the top of Krishna. They slap Krishna, they fight with Krishna, they wrestle with Krishna, they compete with Krishna one-on-one. They don't have this concept that Krishna is God and then I fall on his feet. No. They say, Krishna has two hands, I have two hands, we are friends. And when Krishna was lifting the Giriraj, Haridasa Vadya, Krishna was lifting the Giriraj Govardhan, and when Srimati Radharani came there, Krishna's attention was on Srimati Radharani. And the hand, the finger through which he was lifting Giriraj, started shaking because of ecstasy. Now the friends of Krishna, they started thinking, our friend, after all, he's like us. He's a 7-year-old child. He's this darling sweetheart of Braj. How much can he carry? So let us all help him. And they started putting their sticks to support Giriraj. Actually, if you see, Krishna doesn't need anybody's support. Right? The Bhagavatam starts with that verse, saying, Krishna is Swarat. He is Atmaram, self-satisfied and independent. Right? He's completely independent. Krishna can do everything. He doesn't need anything. But because the friends see Krishna one-on-one, on the same platform of Sakyaras, they don't have any concept of awe and reverence. They see Krishna on the level of complete transcendental love. And then Mother Yashoda, when Krishna doesn't eat, she thinks, if my Krishna doesn't eat, he's going to starve. He's going to die of hunger. When he eats dirt, Mother Yashoda thinks, this is going to spoil his intestine. This is going to spoil his digestion. And when people say that your Krishna is God, Mother Yashoda says, no, he's not God. Don't make him common by saying he's God. This Nandalal is mine. When you say God, he belongs to everybody. But she was so very possessive of Gopal. Gopal is mine. Don't snatch my Gopal away from me. I can give up my body, but I can't give up Gopal. Even when Putana came, even when Trinavarta came, even when Shakatasur, the card demon came, Mother Yashoda was praying to Vishnu. She was saying, my Lord, if my son has prarabdha karma, if he has sins of the past, please forgive him. Let all his suffering, karmic reactions come to me. Let my child be safe. Let him be safe. Let Krishna live long. This is the love of Mother Yashoda, going beyond all conception of awe and reverence. And then comes the gopis. And repeatedly the six Goswamis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them wrote repeatedly on the exalted platform of the gopis. Srila Prabhupada always said, the gopis of Vrindavan are the greatest worshippers of Krishna. Although the mundane materialists, the scholarly speculators, they cannot understand. But Srila Prabhupada said, the gopis are simple damsels of Braj. They don't get into any complexity. All that they know is Krishna is ours. And all that they want to know is Krishna is ours. So this Krishna, who enjoys loving transcendental pastimes, he exhibits his Aishwarya or opulence, and that Vishnu can be realized in three forms, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining. Now, when the sun rays comes in, sometimes we are driving in a car, right? And we put in sunglasses or the goggles because we can't even face the sun rays. This is what happens with most of the transcendentalists. They can't go beyond the sun rays. Now, when we try looking closer, we can't because our eyes can't take the light. But beyond the sun rays is a very beautiful sun globe. And after all, there is Vivaswan, the sun god presiding over. So Prabhupada is explaining, Vivaswan is the sun god. And he manifests as the sun globe and ultimately as the sun rays. But if we say that the sun rays is everything, it might be correct, but it is imperfect. Incomplete. Stage one, accomplished, but not complete. So similarly, those who say, God has no form, God is formless, God is nameless, God is qualityless, that is not good. Because Prabhupada, in that video lecture that Muktamandir Prabhu had put up on Friday, I think, Prabhupada was saying this point, that God might be called Nirgun, but that means he doesn't have material qualities. He has transcendental qualities. Krishna has transcendental 64 qualities. So people don't understand. When they say Nirgun, they feel God is qualityless. Or he has no form. And the explanation they give is that when you have a form, you're confined. Now, like, I have a form. I'm sitting here. Which means I'm not here. Which means I'm not here. Which means I'm not there. And which means I'm not there. But if God is everywhere, how can he have a form? Because he's everywhere. So they use their mental understanding and negation and logic to understand God. But Krishna says repeatedly that it is only through bhakti that we can understand and not through knowledge. We can try to speculate, right? If this is like this, it cannot be like this. But Prabhupada said, it can be like this and it can be like this. There is no contradiction. The contradiction is in our head. One time somebody asked Gaur Govinda Maharaj, the Vedas say this at this point and the Vedas negate something else at this point. How do we understand this contradiction? Gaur Govinda Maharaj said, there is no contradiction. The contradiction is in your head. You are seeing the spiritual tattva through your material vision. Impossible. Ata Sri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyam indriyai seva unmukhi jivvado swayameva spuratyata. Prabhupada quoted this verse over and over and over and again from the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. He said, Ata Sri Krishna Nam Adi. Adi means etc. So the names, forms, qualities, pastimes, abode, associates of Krishna, na bhaved grahyam indriya, cannot be understood through our senses. How can they be understood? Seva unmukta. By having this service quality, this attitude of serving, and starting with jivva adau. Adau means first. Starting with the jivva, the tongue. And Prabhupada explains through his letters, through his books, and through his classes that the function of the tongue is to speak and to eat. And when you eat nothing else but Krishna Prasad, and you speak nothing else except Krishna Katha, and you chant nothing else except Krishna Naam, it's all perfection. And then what happens? Swayam eva spuratyada. Prabhupada quotes Rupa Goswami that that inconceivable Krishna Tattva becomes conceivable. There's an example that sometimes we quote. There was one devotee who was telling me that he was a big fan of one of these basketball players. He just loved them, and he was a child. This is one of the leading, I won't take his name, but this is one of the leading sannyasis in his cult. So he was once saying in his class that when he was a child, he was a great fan of one of the leading basketball players. So he desperately wanted to go and see him live. And he was like a small child. Shishirada Gopiwala Ba ki jai, Gorni Tai ki jai, Jagannath Balil Subhadra Mahi ki jai. So he was saying that he was such a big fan of this basketball player that he wanted to go and see him live in action. So he was a small child and this basketball player was like a 7-footer. So there was no chance that he could even see him properly. And he had this desire, he never told him. He wanted to sit on his back, on his shoulder, and see how the world looks from his height. So there was no chance of he climbing onto his shoulders. But when his father expressed to the basketball player sat on his knees and through his hands helped him on his shoulder. This is what Krishna does. We can never come on to Krishna's shoulder and try understanding him. But when we serve, seva unmukhi jivvado, through chanting and through, you know, all the other processes of bhakti, starting with the tongue, we may not be able to climb onto Krishna's shoulder, but Krishna lovingly sits on his knees, holds our hand, and the inconceivable Krishna becomes conceivable by the mercy of Sri Guru. Sometimes people say, I want to understand God without his representative. That is impossible. Without the representative of Krishna, it is impossible for us to understand Krishna. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. Because the representative of Krishna carries the mercy of Krishna, and that which is inconceivable, he makes it conceivable. Like, we can never see Krishna. We see him as a deity. But can we actually see him? Satchitananda? Well, with transcendental vision, but not at this moment. So therefore, the representative of Krishna appears as a mere mortal in front of us. Appears as if he is holding a material body, although it isn't. So he comes onto our platform, the platform that we can see, the platform that we can hear, the platform that we can exchange and experience, but although he's transcendental. So therefore, Guru is very, very special tattva. What does speak of Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada came to this Western world and people weren't even desiring a Guru. People weren't even desiring Krishna. Prabhupada gave and forcefully gave them Krishna. One time during a morning walk, somebody asked Prabhupada, you came all the way for us. What was our qualification? Prabhupada very humbly yet honestly said, you had no qualification. I made your qualification. So you didn't even desire, but Prabhupada still came. Prabhupada said, this is Kripa Siddhi. When you don't want it, but you still get it, that is Kripa. So Krishna is all merciful. Although in the Bhagavatam we find it's very, very difficult to understand Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna, right? The Isha Upanishad Prabhupada quotes here, Isha Vasim Idam Sarvam. He gives the example how the whole house belongs to Krishna. Or rather, if the whole house belongs to an owner, not necessarily he has to sit in every room. He can sit in one room and still the whole house belongs to him. So similarly, Krishna, as Shyamasundar, is busy in his pastimes in the spiritual world. But through his power potency, through his energy, he pervades throughout. Actually, he's there even here. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we would find Bhakta Prahlad, Prahlad Maharaj, when Hiranyakashipu asked him, "You're worshipping this Vishnu. Where is this Vishnu? Is this Vishnu there in this pillar?" And Prahlad Maharaj says, "Ask me a place where Vishnu doesn't exist. Vishnu exists everywhere, including this pillar." And when Hiranyakashipu hit the club against, or the Bhagavatam also describes, he hit his fist against the pillar. And the pillar broke. And people saw something that was never seen before. Garjantam, garjayantam, nijabuja patalam, spotayantam, hatantam, rupayantam, tapayantam, divibubi ditijam, kshepayantam, kshipantam, krandantam, roshayantam, dishi dishi satatam, samharantam, bharantam, vikshantam, purnayantam, karanikara, shatair, divyasimham namami. Prahlad Maharaj describes the appearance and the look of Nrsingadev. He says when Nrsingadev appeared, the first roar that Nrsingadev blessed this world with, female elephants were having miscarriages. They felt the king of the forest is chasing us. The breathing of Nrsingadev was causing high tide and low tide. His helmet or the crown was touching the spiritual world and his feet was in the material world. Hiranyakashipu couldn't even perceive what is this. Na bhuto na bhavishyati. Never in the past, never in the future. What is this? Is this a lion? Is this a man? Unbelievable. So this Nrsingadev or this Krishna, although he exists in the spiritual world, as Prabhupada says, and manifest through his energy, but Prahlad Maharaj saw him even here. So this is the vision. When Nrsingadev came, Hiranyakashipu couldn't see him as God. He was still trying to battle him. So this is the vision. When Krishna exists, a non-devotee cannot see. And the place where Krishna doesn't exist, there also devotee can see. Like apparently if you see, if you show somebody a pillar, they will say, "What is this?" But the vision of Prahlad was so profound, so tinged with love, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanina. He could see Nrsingadev even in the pillar. And for non-devotees, when Krishna appears as the deity, they still don't see him as God. So this is the vision. So Krishna, although he exists in the spiritual world, he still exists in the material world, he is everywhere. Bhaktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. All the cosmic creation belong to him. So therefore, Prabhupada makes this point that he can be realized in these three forms, but never make the mistake of saying God is formless, or God is light, or God is this, God is that. They all belong to God. The light comes from God's power potency, comes from his body, but that doesn't mean he's formless. There's a very nice quote. Some say that man made God in his image, but the truth is, God made man in his image. So sometimes people think that Krishna has two hands, two legs. That's our imagination. He's actually formless, but we created because we have two hands and two legs. But the fact is, he has two hands and two legs. Therefore, we are blessed to have two hands and two legs. That is the perfection of Godhood. God might appear in different power potencies, sometimes as a lion, sometimes as a wild boar, right? Sometimes like a fish, sometimes like a turtle or a tortoise. He can appear in so many forms. But the supremely opulent form of Vishnu also has the origin of the supremely sweet form of Krishna. Adaram madhuram, vadanam madhuram, nayanam madhuram, hasitam madhuram, hridayam madhuram, gamanam madhuram, madhuradipater akilam madhuram. The Acharya says that God is the creator. He is the origin. But don't think he's like a king. Don't think like right and wrong. He's ready to punish you. He's a very, very sweet personality. His lips are sweet. His fingers are sweet. Baby Gopal walks. When baby Gopal walks, every baby step is so sweet. Every word that he says is so sweet. When the fruit vendor saw Krishna, Krishna Gopal just stole her heart away. She didn't think, oh, this child doesn't have enough. I won't give him anything. She was ready to fill his hand with all her heart. I don't want anything, Gopal. You look so beautiful. Let me just keep coming here and keep looking at you. So Prabhupada is so merciful. He never took us step by step. He never said that this life, you just think God is Brahman. Next life, you worship and God is Paramatma. And then you come to this, that. No. Prabhupada just put us on this fast track mode. He just raised us all through. And those who are godless, atheists, he was engaging them in the service of the deities, in the service of Krishna. So one very great sannyasi here in our movement was once saying, Prabhupada is so great, he made the animals into humans, humans into demigods, and demigods into pure devotees. So the glories of Prabhupada is unlimited, the glories of Sri Krishna is unlimited, the depth of the purport is unlimited, but unfortunately, the time is limited, so I'll have to stop. Hare Krishna. So if there are any questions, comments, or please go ahead.
So I am thinking of, as a yoga instructor, give the students the concept of the Paramatma, and we have meditation on the form of the Paramatma within the heart. But to get people to go to the next step, to Bhagavan realization, this is very subtle, and for many it's difficult because they often are not putting faith in the scriptural descriptions of Krishna. He's physical, as you said, Madhur, the sweetness in him. We still want to see him as being a judgmental God. We don't want to see that we have an intimate, loving relationship. How to introduce this concept? I think what I'm trying to do is just read Bhagavad Gita, because that is the conversation between two very intimate friends.
Right.
And there's definitely love between them, there's definitely respect. In Krishna's words, the words are what's sweet.
Right.
So rather than going to the form of Krishna, you go to the words of Krishna.
Excellent.
Is this...
Yeah, this could be one of the ways. Yeah.
Effective?
Yeah. There's never an absolute one-track solution. It all depends on time, place, circumstance. Like, for example, somebody could be cured with a couple of dosage of a pill. Somebody else needs an injection. So depending on the person's capability, the audience we are addressing, the time, place, you know, if we find that there are many who are who come from Christian backgrounds, and they are still in this mode of seeing God as judgmental, right? Because that's how it is. I mean, if you don't follow this, God punishes you, he kicks you to hell and burns you for eternity and things like that. So it gets very difficult probably for them to get over that concept. And maybe it's too high for them to understand that God is sweet. So we'll have to strike a balance between the two, right? Sometimes, as you said, instead of directly taking them together to that platform, there could be a midway where you could say that you can use the judgmental part of God to say that, therefore, if you eat meat again, God's going to do this.
Okay.
If you actually do this, then your judgmental God will do this. So you can use their... probably their sensitive point to get them onto the right track, right?
Yes.
Right, like for example, I mean, if you think that the philosophy would be too heavy for them, you could go something like, okay, if God is judgmental, everything is created by God, right? So if we actually destroy any property of God, God's going to get really judgmental and push you to hell. What's going to happen if somebody comes into your house and starts scribbling on your walls? The owner's not going to like. So similarly, the animals are also property of God. And if you start scribbling your gadgets onto their throat, God's going to start scribbling His gadget on your throat. Right? I mean, we can use... there are many who use the concept of karma these days. So you can get a concept of karma that as you sow, so shall you reap. Mm. You put in a mango seed, you're going to get a mango plant, or a mango tree. Mm. So if you kill or you destroy a property of God, that judgmental God of yours is going to take you to task. But then, as and when, slowly and gradually their heart opens up, more and more, you know, you can give according to their appetite. A child is always given small crushed food. Then as and when he grows up, half a chapati, one chapati. And if you're like a voracious eater, six chapatis, right? So as the appetite increases, you can put in more food.
I see.
Sometimes in our movement, I have seen that there are some preachers who just go so heavy, even in a new class, a new new audience. They go and say that, if you don't do this, you're wasting your human form and you are like, you are a dog. You know, things like that. But, I mean, it may work. I'm not saying it may not work. Yeah. It may be really powerful and might touch their heart. But there are also cases where they really back off and they say that, you know, he was too... If he's a devotee, why was he so rude? Mm. You know? So probably we can just strike a balance between being heavy and being light so that they can relate to us and they put faith in us. And the more and more they understand, the more and more your appetite increases, the more and more we can feed them.
I see.
Make sense?
Yes. It's sometimes frustrating because I want so badly to give this beautiful concept of Krishna as sweet.
Mm.
And as you say, people are only ready for small bites.
Mm.
You say, well, maybe they're just not going to get that far in this lifetime.
Mm.
To me, that's so frustrating.
Mm.
Because it means that you can see Shastra Drik, you can see that the next few lives, it's going to take them
right. Yeah, but...
But there's nothing you can get. You just say, Krishna, use me as an instrument to give them that concept.
Right.
And then after that, one has to be detached.
Right. Yeah, Prabhupada makes this point that even if they don't come to this point of Krishna being very sweet, by some means or the other, if they come in touch with this personality, they will be purified.
Hmm.
Prabhupada and they... in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the arena where Krishna enters Mathura.
Yes, thank you.
Right?
Wonderful.
That arena where Krishna and Balaram... When Krishna and Balaram enter that arena to smash Chanur, Mushtik, and Kamsa finally, Prabhupada explains in the purport that people could approach Krishna in any aspect and they will still be purified. Mm. You can approach Krishna like Kamsa in fear,
okay.
Judgmental God,
okay.
In fear, oh God will do this to me, oh God will kill me, God will punish me. Always be God conscious, that purifies. You could be envious of God like Shishupal, and still be purified. But the understanding is, do whatever you can, but always think of God. There was Maharaj Vena. He was always also envious of God. But he was of this concept, I'm envious of God, I'm envious of Krishna, so why should I think of him? So he never thought of Krishna. But Shishupal, he was envious of Krishna, and always thought of Krishna. That purified him. Kamsa was always fearful of Krishna. That purified him. And then friends of Krishna. And then in Vrindavan, it's always love.
Very nice.
Right? So whatever aspect you approach, Kubja was lusty towards Krishna. That purified her. So you can be lusty towards Krishna. You can be angry towards Krishna. You can be envious towards Krishna. You can do whatever you can, but approach Krishna. Yena kena prakarena mana Krishna, Nivesayat. Rupa Goswami says, by some means or the other, if your mind gets attracted or attached to Krishna. Maybe like judgmental, maybe in fear, maybe envious, maybe in lust. You know, if somebody thinks,
Krishna is this threefold bending form. Ah, embracing Krishna will be such a great pleasure. That also purifies. I'm not encouraging anything in this class. I'm just giving different aspects, right?
That's very nice.
Yeah, it's called as Kamanuga Bhakti. So, gopis also are at different levels. Mother Yashoda is at different level. The Sakya, they're at different level. How about the grass? How about the stick of Krishna? How about the float of Krishna? How about the flowers garland around Krishna's neck? All are at different levels of consciousness. But there's one thing binding all of them together. By some means or the other, approach God, Krishna. Make sense?
Beautiful.
Jai. So, yes.
I just remembered also that topic about the five most powerful forms of devotional service.
Yes.
Because they give more chances to enter into pure devotional service.
Yes, like pure bhakti.
Purabhas, Srimad Bhagavatam, several associations with pure devotees.
Yes.
Then, tomorrow.
Yes. Sadhu Sangha Naam Kirtan Bhagavata Shravan. Mathura Vasa Shri Murti Rapshadaya
Seva. Yeah, so like these things that like more powerful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because when you first, like before, I wanted also to make a comment that even if you don't believe in that concept of sweetness of the Lord,
yes,
just by listening from the acharyas who realize that sweetness. Because sometimes,
right,
we read from those who realize, and sometimes even a lecturer also like realized to some extent. So the more one realized, the more we can get.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Now, if you're completely convinced of the sweetness of Krishna and you're completely realized in that concept and you have re-established your relationship with Krishna and you're nicely chanting and serving, so they're hearing from you, and even if it is not rasakatha or something really exalted, you just speak basic stuff that even if you speak about Krishna, right? Anything about Krishna, the word Krishna enters into their ear and that purifies them. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sometimes there used to be articles in the newspaper criticizing the Gaudiya Math. And sometimes there used to be an article glorifying the Gaudiya Math. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to get both the articles together and count the number of Krishna. And whichever article had more number of Krishna, he said, this is a better article. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, even if you don't know to preach, time and again, at junctions, just say Gauranga, just say Chaitanya, just say Nityananda, just say Radha Krishna, just say Shri Krishna.
Thank you.
So even if you're not able to speak philosophy, again and again if you say, therefore we loudly chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Saraswati Thakur will be very happy. So if you can even get them to that point of repeating different kinds of names of Krishna, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava, all principal names of Krishna, right? When they, should I continue? When the milk, they, I see. When the milk pot seller, she came to Vrindavan and she was selling it. She saw Krishna and she used to say, everybody, please take milk. Please take milk. Please take milk. Govinda, 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 Damodar, Madhava, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. This happened to her. When she saw Shamsundar, she saw Krishna, she forgot everything. So when these names of Krishna enter into the ear of even people who are starting, that creates the platform or the Sukriti in their heart that increases their appetite at a future date they can grasp better. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Narada Muni ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanande.
Hare, hare, hare.